Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, in Jesus' name. We praise God for being here in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God. Amen. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you hear my voice, it's nothing of my voice, but if you are listening to me right now, that means you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ some praise on today. Amen. I thank God for each and every person listening today, wherever you're listening to me from. Amen. Wherever you might be, whatever day or night it might be, whatever, I praise God for you in Jesus' name. And I praise God for giving us another opportunity to come and to teach the Word of God on today in Jesus' name, on this wonderful Saturday in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a very, very wonderful, wonderful day as we are in anticipation of Resurrection Sunday. We are in Resurrection Weekend. Some call it Easter. Some call it Resurrection Weekend. Me personally, I like to call it Resurrection Weekend. I have my preferences on why I like to call it Resurrection Weekend, amen, because it is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen, because without him, dying on the cross of Calvary and him going into the grave, which was the tomb, for 3 days. He lay there for 3 days and rose on the third day. Amen. We thank God for him rising up on the third day. Amen. But I thank God for this resurrection weekend, because today we're going to talk about, and this is not a traditional topic today, because this is dealing with resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's also dealing with us. Amen. When we look at the Bible, when we look at the Word of God, a lot, almost every scripture in the Word of God, from Genesis all the way to Revelations, deals with two things. It deals with what God inquires of us. It deals with our life. It deals with the problems that we might face. It deals with the joys we might have. It deals with when we honor God with our life. It deals with what we will see if we honor God with our life. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that the Word of God is here not just to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't just tell us about the things that happened in the Bible days, but basically in a nutshell, the Word of God deals with us. It deals with us, teaches us, shows us what we should and shouldn't, and what's good and what's not good for our life. Amen. And one of the things that is very good for our life was the resurrection, was the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So on today, we're going to talk about the price. The price. Because everybody, there's an old saying, everybody has a price. I remember when I was younger, I used to, as a kid, I grew up watching professional wrestling. And there was a wrestler by the name of Ted DiBiase. And his saying, he was known as the Million Dollar Man. And his saying was, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man. And there was a price. Everybody had a price on them. The Bible declares that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There was a price for the sin debt that was on your life. There was a price, as we declare, as the Word of God declares to us, that the wages, a wage is a payment. Payment must be, there is a payment there for us coming into the world in sin. There's a payment, and God himself took on, made flesh, and put that flesh in the womb of a virgin Mary, and he lived 33 years. He ministered for three and a half. And in those 3.5 years and in those 33 years, he lived and he did the work of God. Amen. But his sole purpose was to pay the price. Everybody has a price. So we're going to talk about the price today and what the price was. If we look in Scripture and if we look in the Word of God, I want to start off with a Scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse, starting at verse 19. And it reads, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" And this is where verse number 20, I want to focus on verse 20, because this is where we get it in a nutshell. "For ye are bought with a price." I want you to catch that. For ye are bought with a price. Amen. I'm gonna say that again. Amen. Ye are bought with a price. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. As we read this passage, these two verses in this passage of Scripture, I want to go over to a very familiar passage of Scripture to help give some insight on what the price, because we quoted the Scripture, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." We know that when we came into this world, we came into this world in sin. David declared that in my mother's womb, from his mother's womb. She conceived David in sin. Amen. If we look in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, it declares to us that one man brought sin into the world, and that man was Adam. Amen. And from the bloodline, and then we've talked about this before, and you might say, well, Minister Adam, why do you keep talking about the bloodline of mankind and you keep talking about sin and all this? Because this is the history of mankind. And this is the history that mankind brought on itself. And for what we as mankind brought on ourselves, started with Adam. Adam brought it on us. And so, because of Adam's disobedience, it brought a price upon our head. It was like a bounty needed to be paid. Amen. Sin, death was looking for us because of sin. Death wanted mankind. And this is where Jesus stepped in and he took your place. This is where the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was so important for our very life. This is where this scripture comes from in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Because he paid the ultimate price, verse 19 lets us know that we are not our own. Amen. Now, the thing is, in John 3:16, it tells us what the price that he paid for us. So let's go there. Let's go to John 3:16. Let's go to John 3:16. A very familiar, very big familiar passage of scripture. I know every person, whether you be a Bible scholar or not, anybody can quote this verse. Amen. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'm going to throw in verse 17. "For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Okay. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We read the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we see that the price needed to be paid. And we see in John 3:16, we see that what the price was. He gave his life. He gave his life. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." A death needed to take place, because when we look in scripture, it says the wages of sin is death. That's the payment. That's the ultimate payment. That sin debt needed to be paid. Somebody had to die for this. Somebody had to die. And out of God's love for us, he told us to step aside, and I'm going to take your place. I'm going to take your place. In a nutshell, what John 3:16 is telling us is, I want mankind to step aside, and I'm going to come into the world. I'm going to step out of 42 generations. I'm going to leave my throne. I'm going to create me a body. I'm going to come down, because as we know that when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," he's talking about the body, Jesus. He's talking about the body. The body is the Son. The body is the sacrifice. He was sacrificing, just like back in from Genesis all the way up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The high priest used to make sacrifices for the people, for people in that day. The blood of goats and bullocks would be the sacrifice. But it couldn't take away sin, but it would cover the sins of mankind. But mankind's sin wasn't done away with. Amen. But when God said, I'm going to have y'all step aside. I'm going to have mankind step aside, and I'm going to be the ultimate sacrifice. This is where we get John 3:16. Now, I want to dive deeper into this because I want you to see the gruesomeness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross, he was beaten. Before he even went to the cross, he was beaten. He was talked about. I mean, he was beaten beyond recognition. Amen. And to give you a picture of what we're talking about today, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And when I say he was beaten beyond recognition, his own mother couldn't even recognize him. That's how gruesome the beating was. That's how gruesome the crucifixion. In a total of a nutshell, that's how gruesome the crucifixion was. And I know that we sometimes look at Christian movies of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and they got little trinkets of blood. But my own personal opinion, and this is my own personal opinion, this is not scripture, but my own personal opinion, the biggest visual aid, I should say, that we can visualize the real crucifixion of Jesus Christ, to just give us a visual aid of what it actually looked like, is the movie The Passion of the Christ. That's the closest visual aid. That even goes beyond the real crucifixion of Jesus Christ, goes beyond that movie, but that's the closest depiction that we can look at to see, okay, this is what Jesus actually went through. Now, it also talks about it in the Word of God. Amen? It talks about it in the book, the goriness of his crucifixion. Amen? The goriness of his crucifixion is talked about in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 in verse number 5. Amen. And it reads, and the Word of God tries to give you a visual aid of what Christ went through. Amen. In Isaiah 53 verse number 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Transgressions is sin. And he was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities is sin. This happened to Jesus. He was beaten. He was bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, when you are in sin, you're not in peace. But when you come out of sin, you're in peace. You have all the peace you need when you come out of sin. You no longer have death over your head. You no longer have the sinful nature over your head. You're walking in bliss as long as you stay in that bliss. Amen? You can tell sin no. And that's peaceful. That's a peaceful thing. See, this is why this verse, in verse number 5, it's saying this. The chastisement. What is chastisement? The beatings. Chastisement is correction. Even though Jesus was innocent, sin needed to be corrected. And this is the way that sin was corrected. Chastisement is correction. Amen. And sin needed to be corrected. And the only way sin could be corrected was going through the death of sin. Amen. This is what Jesus went through physically. And let me tell you something. It's not something that was an enjoyable time for Jesus. Let me get that straight. Jesus knew what he was going to go through. He knew what he was going to go through even before he went through it. Now, the fleshly side of Jesus, I want to point this out, that the fleshly side of Jesus did not want to die. He didn't want to die. And you might say, well, I thought Jesus loved me. I thought Jesus loved me that he would die for us. Yes, he loves us. But the fleshly side of him, because he had a spiritual side, he had a spirit side and a natural side. That's why he said he had a natural side to know how we feel. And the natural side of Jesus did not want to die. Nobody wants to die. In your natural state, you don't want to die. I don't want to die. I know death is imminent in the natural sense. Yeah, death is a natural thing. Death is, we're set for death, natural death for everybody. One day we all gonna leave here. But nobody wants to die. Amen. But his natural nature did not want to die. How do we know? The Bible declares that if it be thy will, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He was talking about the death, the gory death that he would have to go through. But out of his spiritual side, he said, if it be thy will, the spirit spoke. Even though the flesh didn't want to die, the spirit spoke. When he said, if it be thy will, that was the spirit. But the natural side spoke too and said, let this cup pass from me. The natural and the spirit, even though God had no sin in him, Jesus had no sin in him at all, but his natural side spoke and said, hey, look, I'm not trying to die. I really don't want to. The natural side of Jesus. The spiritual side was ready. Knew what it came to, his spiritual side knew what it had to do. The mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus knew what he had to do. The mission. The mission was set. I have to come. I have to preach. I have to live. I have to be an example. I have to live to be an example for mankind. I have to preach to be an example for my disciples that are here now and that is soon to come, which is us. And then I have to come and die for everybody in the face of the earth, whether it be now or future. Those are the three things he had to do. That was his mission in those three areas. Amen. To be an example that we can live holy. To be a teacher, to be a preacher, to show us how to teach and preach out of love, and to come and to die for the sins of mankind, for the whole world. That was his mission in a nutshell. Amen? So when we look at all of this, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, And with his stripes we are healed. What are we healed from? Now, I know a lot of people, when they talk about this verse in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, we talk about healing because it says we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. And most of the time we talk about a natural healing in our bodies, in our finances, in whatever we might need earthly. But this is also not only talking about a natural healing, but it's talking about a spiritual, the removal of sin. That's a healing. Because we were in so much pain spiritually. If a person is in sin, you are in so much spiritual pain. If a person lives in sin, you got to look over your shoulder every day. It's torment. You're living in torment when you live in sin because sin does not baby you. It might act like it does, but sin does not baby us. It cripples us. And for a person in I've lived the life of me personally. I've lived the life of a person that has a disability, and being disabled, it has its downsides to it. It has downsides to it because there's some things that physically, and I'm talking about personally, me and my disability. It has its downsides to it because there's some things that I can't do. There's some things that, and that's what sin is. It cripples us. It holds us back from things that we can do in the spirit. It even holds us back from things that sometimes things that we can even do in the natural. You might say, well, how does that hold me back? How does sin hold me back? Some people that are in a bed of sin, and it might seem enjoyable, partying it up, living it up. How is that holding me back from living life? Don't you know that sin will hold you back from living the true life that you need to live? It will hold you back. There's a price in everything that we do. We pay a price, and living in the sin that we came in with, that is a price. But God paid the price for us to come out of it so that we might be able to live and have life. What does sin do? It holds us back from living life because it torments us, it cripples us. And eventually it devours us. How? You might say, well, preacher, how do you know all this stuff? How do you know that sin, it cripples us? It torments us. It cripples us. It devours us. Well, look at Adam. It tormented Adam when Adam sinned. He tried to hide from God. It tormented him. It tormented him. He didn't like the space that he was in. The Bible declares in John chapter 10, verse 10, it shows us sin is a torment because the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief cometh but to steal. That's a tormenting thing when somebody steals from you. You lost something. Something that's very, very valuable to you. Somebody steal from me. I'm like, wait a minute. And the devil comes to steal from you using sin. You might look like a person in sin, they might look like they living it up and they got their stuff over here that they doing. And they got their stuff that they living in, but It's not bringing you life. It might look like it's bringing you life, but it's a false advertisement. Sin is a false advertisement. This is why we preach and teach so hard against it, because it's a false advertisement. Oh, well, if you do this, and let me give you an example of a false advertisement. The world will tell you, well, if you just do this, then you'll get this result. And we keep doing it and doing it and getting the same results. We keep feeling sorry for ourselves. We keep getting down and depressed. We keep feeling, no, that's what sin does. It brings a false advertisement. They tell you, well, if you just, you might feel down about something, and somebody tells you, well, you just need to drink. You just need to take a little puff. Just take this cigarette. Just take this weed. And take a little bit of this. Take this drink. Man, you need to come to party with me. What is that going to do? It's a spiritual thing. When we feel stuff like this, it's a spiritual thing. You mean if I get saved, I'll never feel that again? There's a possibility. And if that stuff comes creeping back, you got the power to rebuke it. You got the power to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Just like Jesus did. Amen. When Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted in three areas. The same three areas that we were tempted in. That's why Jesus knows the feelings of our infirmities. Because he felt the same way we feel when sin tries to come and tempt us. And guess what Jesus did? He used the word. He didn't just use a song. He didn't just use a saying. He used the word. He used the word of God. The devil tried to getting to tempt him to turn stones to bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Because Jesus was fasting. He tried to tempt him with food. That's natural stuff. Amen. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you just fall down and worship them. Mm-mm. This is what we go through today. Sin tries to tempt us. The devil tries to make sin look so good. That's why it's a false advertisement. But Jesus saw through it. Well, you might say, well, that's Jesus. That's not me. It can be you. You know, I'm only human. That's an excuse. For Jesus paying the price for us, that's an excuse. Using the excuse, I'm only human. I'm not perfect. You know, God knows my heart. That's an excuse. Well, I'll come to Jesus when I get myself together. No, that's an excuse too. And I'm gonna show you how it's an excuse. Because, well, I'll come to Jesus when I get myself together. An excuse, and I'm gonna show you how that's an excuse. If you could get yourself together, we would not be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. We wouldn't. If we could get ourselves together, we would not be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. How? Why wouldn't we be celebrating Resurrection Sunday? Because if we could get ourselves together, God wouldn't have had to die. we could get our, I'm going to say it again, if we could get ourselves together, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. This is why we wouldn't be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, because Jesus wouldn't have died if we could get ourselves together. What are you waiting for? The Bible declares to us that the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I'm going to wait until I get myself together. That's hardening your heart, because God, doom, 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 God is knocking at your door. The day you feel God tugging at you is the day that you need to receive whatever God's got for you. Makes sense. Because you may not have that chance anymore. He said he came to give us life and that more abundantly. Life, the Bible declares, and I believe it's James, in the book of James, it says, life, what is life? Life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and it vanishes away. The Bible declares to us also that the hand of God is not going to always strive with man. He gives us the opportunity to receive what he wants us to receive, what's better for our life. But after a while, God says, okay, wait a minute. If you're not accepting the opportunity, God is not going to force the opportunity upon you, but he gives you a chance to receive the opportunity. And if you, we as people do not receive the opportunity to receive, if we do not take on the opportunity, if we just look at the opportunity lightly. Now, the opportunity, what are we receiving in the opportunity? What did God die for? God died for our salvation. Salvation out of sin. God died for three things. God died for our salvation. God died for our holiness in him. God died for our walking up right in righteousness in him. We need those three things to be able to live. This is what he died for. This is why he was bruised for our iniquities. This is why the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You might say, well, Minister Adam, I got a question for you. How do I know? Amen. How do I know that that's for me? It's for everybody. Salvation, holiness and righteousness is for everybody. It's for everybody. It's for everybody that wants to receive it. And it's all wrapped up in his spirit. Amen. But it's up to us to take on that salvation. It's upon us to take on that holiness. It's upon us to take on that righteousness. I'm going to show you in Scripture. In Psalms, we're going to deal with these three things. This is what Jesus died for. This is why the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is so important for us. I told you, this is not a typical lesson today. This would not be a typical lesson today. This is not a typical resurrection type teaching today. Because we hear the crucifixion of Jesus. We hear about it every year, and we hear about Jesus coming into the world and him dying and him going into the grave and him rising through that. But why? This is a thought. The Lord wants us to think about why he did it and to make a mental, he wants us to think about a mental analyzation of why he did it and make a mental analyzation of why we should receive what he has for us. Because I don't just want you to hear the message. I want you to analyze it. I want you to think about why. Because we hear messages. We hear motivational speakers, and do we really take the message in? We ain't up here just to be a motivational speaker, just to get you motivated, and then all of a sudden, out the window. You're motivated one day, and then all the rest of it, that's nothing. That's like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. We're not here to motivate you. We're here to preach life unto you. Amen. So in the book of Psalms, let's go to Psalms chapter 3, verse number 8. We're going to deal with these three things: salvation, holiness, and righteousness. These are the three things that we need, and it's wrapped up in what we need to receive to be able to live life. This is why Jesus died. I want you to see why Jesus died for us, because in our sin, we could not receive this. But when we receive his spirit, these three things are all wrapped up in his spirit. But once we receive his spirit, we can live life in this. Amen. But we need these three things. Amen. Psalms chapter 3, verse number 8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Now, salvation, this is what this is saying. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, which means the salvation giver is Jesus. This is what this is. He's giving salvation. We read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is life. Amen. He is giving the gift of salvation. Thy blessing is upon thy people. It is a blessing to have salvation. It is a blessing to have the salvation that Jesus is giving. Salvation has been extended unto man for this time and this moment. And it is a blessing for those that receive salvation. Amen. Now, let's dive into righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness for? That is the royalty of God. That's us walking in royal places. Righteousness. Amen. That's the righteousness of God. The royalty of God. Amen. How is righteousness given unto us? Why is righteousness given unto us? Okay, it's for blessings, royalty. We can sit in high places that we were not able to sit at before. Receiving this puts us in high places in the kingdom of God. How do we know this? Psalms 84, verse number 11. Let's look at that. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk up rightly. Righteousness. If you're walking for God, you're walking in righteousness. Now, watch this. Righteousness is royalty unto God. Let's go to 1 Peter, because I'm going to show you what righteousness does. Amen. This is why we need the salvation. Amen. First Peter 2:9. First Peter 2:9. Now watch as I said, righteousness is a royalty unto God. Watch this. In Psalms 84, we just read that no good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All right? This is what you get when you walk uprightly before him. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. This is the royalty of God. It says it right there in verse number 9. We are a royal priesthood. You don't walk the same way. You walk righteously before God and before sinners. Psalms 1, verse 1, it talks about not walking up in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners. What does that mean? You can't walk the same way. You got to walk righteously. Amen. This is what it is. This is what Jesus died for, so that we might be able to do it. Now, holiness. What is the holiness for? Without holiness, we can't see him. Don't think that you're going to be able to see him without holiness. Amen. Amen. Some people think that, hey, I'll be able to see God. I'll be able to see him and live a blessed life. Amen. But without holiness, amen, you can't see him. Amen. And in Hebrews 12:14, it talks about holiness. You can't see God without having holiness. You thinking that you're going to be able to stand before him and live in heavenly places, live in royalty without holiness? Nope. How do we know this? Hebrews 12 and verse number 14, it reads, follow peace. There goes that peace again. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now that without which, that means you don't have holiness. And without holiness, a person cannot see Jesus in heavenly places without holiness. Where does holiness begin? Holiness begins with his spirit. It does. Holiness begins with his spirit, the Holy Ghost. That's in the salvation. That's it. The Holy Ghost goes into salvation. That's what we need to receive. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. How do I know it's for everybody? Acts chapter 2, verse 39. We're going to read it. Salvation has been extended unto man in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. And this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's where we know that salvation is for everybody. He has no respect to person. Amen. salvation, holiness, and righteousness, all three of them are in the Spirit of God. Are in the Spirit of God. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when we started. Amen. Ye are bought with a price. In verse number 19, it talks about the Spirit of God being in us. Why does the Spirit of God, why does he want his Spirit in us to lead and to guide? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. To lead and to guide us. Now watch this. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans, because we've already covered the three things that Jesus within the Holy Ghost that we need. We know why Jesus died. We know why Jesus came. We know why Jesus died. We know why Jesus resurrected. And why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Why we celebrate this great occasion. Because the Spirit of God, and I'm going to show you why we celebrate, the big reason why Jesus came. First I'm going to go to Romans, because I'm going to show you something in Romans. And I'm going to, Lord wants to show us something in Romans. Now, in Romans chapter number, I believe it's number 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. Now, one of the reasons why in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The reason why you, without holiness, without the holiness of God, you won't be able to see him is because if you're not walking in holiness, you cannot walk in holiness without the Holy Ghost. There's no possible way that you can walk in holiness without the Holy Ghost. You need his Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. You need his Spirit. There's no other alternative. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other salvation. There's no other gospel that is better than this. Amen. Even if people try to tell you, the Bible declares to us that even if an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Amen. There is nothing greater than this Holy Ghost that Jesus has given unto us. So without the Holy Ghost, you cannot live and walk. You can't be in salvation. You can't be in holiness. You can't be in righteousness without the Holy Ghost, which means, we read it in Hebrews, follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You can't walk in the royal priesthood of God, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, without the Holy Ghost. Now, you might say, "Oh, that's not right. I can do it without the Holy Ghost." No, you cannot, because the Bible declares that you're none of His, and if you're none of His, you're not going to be. If we are none of His, we can't go where Jesus is. The Bible doesn't say we're none of His. Yes, it does. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. And I'm going to read it to you. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is why we need the Holy Ghost, just in a nutshell, right there. But ye are not in the flesh. If you do not have the mindset of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are everything, every decision that you might make will be in your flesh. If you are in the, if you have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, if you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, every decision that you make will not be in a fleshly mindset. It'll be in a spiritual mindset. And I'm gonna break this down before we go. But it reads, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Boom. What is the Spirit of God dwelling in us? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have his Spirit, you cannot walk up rock. You don't have salvation. You do not have holiness, and you don't have righteousness, so you can't even seek God, which means you're not, which means a person that does not have his Spirit, if you don't get his Spirit on the inside of you, you cannot seek God. You can't live for him. You don't know the true you don't know the true definition of what walking in faith really is. The Bible declares in Jude, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Faith without works is dead. You can believe. Faith is belief. You can believe something, but belief is an action word. You got to live this thing. You got to live what you believe. Belief is an action word. Have you ever heard the saying, actions speak louder than words? Come on, somebody. Actions speak louder than words. Well, what is the action for me to receive the Spirit of God? What is the action that I got to do? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Oh, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let's go to, because Lord wants me to do this. Let's go to Acts, or let's go to Romans chapter 10 real quick, starting at verse number 9, because Lord wants us to point this out, because there's been some false identification going on in the body of Christ. And anybody that's listening today, I want us to get clarification on how to receive the salvation that God has got for us, on how to receive the Spirit of God. Amen. We want clarification. And I got three scriptures to clarify how we receive the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Let's start at Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 and verse number 10. Now, the reason why the Lord has us going here in this passage of scripture right now is because there's some preachers that will tell you that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that once you do that, you're saved. Now, and That's all. Some preachers leave it at. They don't talk about baptism. They don't talk about none. No, you cannot confess something that you don't have. And some preachers, I know I'm gonna have some people mad at me. And you know what? At this point, at the time and age that we're living in, I really don't care who gets mad at me. This is the Word of God. You cannot confess something that you don't have. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, it says, Now confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart, it's in the Bible. That is what we're supposed to do. But That only comes if you have received what God has for you. You can't confess it. That's why I said you can't confess something that you don't have. Amen? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I want you to look at this verse. It did not say that a person is saved. It says, shall be saved, which means future tense. But you have to receive his spirit and receive the Holy Ghost. You have to receive the Holy Ghost to be able to declare to be saved. This is what Jesus died for. This is the price that he paid for our salvation. Amen? Because in verse, in there's some preachers that quote this verse and they leave this verse and this is the way you receive salvation. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, you are saved. I've heard Joe Osteen say this a lot. And that ain't true. They just stop right there. They just leave it. This is all you need to do. We believe you got born again. No. It does not stop here. How do we know? Verse number 10. See, they leave out verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. This is talking about righteousness again. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the coming up to. When you confess with your mouth, you're confessing the salvation that God has given you. And when you believe in your heart, you're believing the righteousness that you're about to walk into. But you cannot have salvation and righteousness and holiness without the Spirit of God on the inside of you. This is why it does not stop at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. But where does it stop at? Where does it stop? Let's go to John chapter 3, because I'm going to go to where we receive salvation. But I want to show you this real quick. Let's go to John chapter 3, and let's start at verse number 3, because I want to point this out. How do we receive the Spirit of God? Amen? Let's start at John chapter 3, starting at verse number 3. And Jesus, this is the words of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Jesus answered and said unto him, and he's talking to a man that by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus came unto Jesus by night. And he's telling him, he said, Nicodemus asked a question. Matter of fact, I'm just going to read starting at verse number 1, just to clarify what we're talking about. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily. Now, I want to stop right there real quick. When Jesus, every time Jesus said, verily, verily, that means you need to pay attention to what he is saying. He is giving a decree. He is giving instruction. He wants you to pay attention to what he is saying. This is why anytime the Spirit of God, whether it came out of Jesus' physical mouth or the Spirit of God, anytime it was said, verily, verily, it was important for you to listen to what he had, to what the Spirit had to say. Okay? So, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let's stop right there. What is Jesus talking about? Now, Bible scholars, we know what Jesus is talking about. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, some preachers will tell you that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, we believe Joel Austin, like I said, Joel Austin says this all the time. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, we believe you got born again. The Bible don't say that. The Bible does not say if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you're born again. Did not say that. This is how you get born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Which means, how can I be born again and I'm a grown man? I'm a grown woman. How can I be born again? I'm not a baby anymore. I'm not in my mother's womb. How can I be born again? He thought it was a natural birth. Jesus wasn't talking about a natural birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. Watch this. He said, Nicodemus then said, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Like I said, Nicodemus thought it was a natural birth. Jesus wasn't talking about a natural birth because the natural birth had already took place when Adam was created. Amen. The Bible declares in the book of Psalms, David was conceived from his mother's womb in sin. Amen. That was his first birth. This is the same birth that Nicodemus was talking about. How can I be born again and I'm a grown man? But Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. Jesus said in verse number 5, verily, verily, meaning pay attention to me, pay attention to what I'm saying, because I need you to get this. I say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse number 6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. So, how do we, if me confessing with my mouth and me believing in my heart, as some preachers say, you're born again after that, after you've done that, after you said the sinner's prayer, you're born again? The Bible didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. Except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit. That's why confession is led up to righteousness. Belief is brought up unto salvation. Amen? They leave out verse number 10 in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. They leave out verse 10. Amen. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. How do I be born again of the water and the Spirit? Okay, let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 2. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Let's start at verse number 1. And this is why Jesus died. This is why Jesus came and died and rose again on the third day. But this is why. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You might say, well, all I got to do is speak in tongues? No. See, let me show y'all something. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, this was the day of Pentecost. This is what Jesus died for. 40 days after Jesus' death was the day of Pentecost. This is what Jesus died for, to send his Spirit. He said, he told Peter, this is when the church was born. He told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There are preachers that will tell you, well, if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you're saved. That's not true either. It does say that in Matthew 28:19. You might say, well, then if it's in there, then it's true. No, it didn't say baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It says baptizing them in the name of. What is the name? Jesus. It's Jesus. Now, let's go to Acts 2 and 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And I'm not going to go through all the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost today, because in John, Matthew 1 and 21, we know that Jesus is the Son. Amen. John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verses starting at verse number 1, going all the way to 4, or no, 3. Yes, in John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14 shows who the Father is. Amen. Matthew 1 and 21 shows who the Son is. And in John chapter 14, verse 26, shows who the Holy Ghost is. And they're all underneath Jesus' name. It shows who the name of the Holy Ghost is in John chapter 14, verse 26. In Matthew 1 and 21, it shows us who the name of the Son is. In John chapter 1, verse 1, and in verse 14, it shows us who the name of the Father is. Amen? And this is why we should be in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It shows us how to be baptized. It shows us what name to be baptized in. Matthew 28:19 is the Great Commission. Jesus was commanding his disciples to baptize in his name, to preach in his name, to teach in his name, to baptize in his name. This is where Colossians 3 and 17 come in at. Matthew 28:19 and Colossians 3 and 17 go together. Amen? It's all in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, and we all know it, amen, then Peter said unto them, this is where, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, He was talking to Peter. He gave Peter the keys and the charge to go preach salvation. That's all he was saying. When he said, upon this rock, he said, upon you, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to preach salvation. I'm going to give you the charge to go preach the salvation, the righteousness, and the holiness of my name and how to find it. It's found in my name. It's all leading up to Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how we receive the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, through baptism. That's how we're born again. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. This is the water and the Spirit right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And what we said earlier, that this is for everybody, verse 39 says, for the promises unto you and unto your children and unto all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means this Holy Ghost, this plan of salvation is for every single person walking the face of the earth. From the day of Pentecost up until now, everybody must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. This is what Jesus died for. This is the price that Jesus paid for this moment, for that moment, for your moment. Amen. If you don't believe me that we're supposed to do this in Jesus' name, it just said it right there. But if you still don't believe me, then watch this. Let's go to Colossians 3 and 17. Just to show you. Amen. Colossians 3 and 17 declares to us, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. He is God. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost. Anytime, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. Anytime God refers himself, he always refers himself as one. There is no other name. It didn't say names. It said name. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. This is the salvation message that God brought forth. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, which means I'm giving everybody in the face of the earth an opportunity. We are living in the last days, and he said it in his word that in the last days I will pour out my, the last days began on the day of Pentecost. That's why he said in the last days with an S. He put an S on them days. The last days began the day the church was born. Amen. And when he said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, which means I'm giving everybody an opportunity. This is where Acts chapter 2, verse 39 comes in at. Amen. For the promise is the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are far off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, when we receive it, when we receive the Holy Ghost, why? This is my last scripture, and then we're going to go. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Why do we need the Holy Ghost? We need the Holy Ghost to live. We need the Holy Ghost to live holy. Why do we need it? We need the Holy Ghost to be a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the key. This is why we're not just supposed to receive the Holy Ghost and just sit down on our do nothing. No, we're supposed to tell people about it. Tell people. This is where you confession and telling people. That's why you can't confess something that you don't have. But once you receive it, you can be a witness. This is where you can confess that Jesus saves. That you can shout it from the mountaintop, Jesus saved my soul. Because he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I'm walking in righteousness. I'm walking in salvation. I'm walking in holiness. But it's up to us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's up to us. But if we choose, we can walk holy. We can walk upright. We can have a new mind. This is where peace comes in. Amen. I pray that you got something out of this. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I pray you got something out of this. Everybody's got a price. This was the topic today. Everybody's got a price. But the price had been paid. He purchased us with his own blood. He purchased our salvation with his own blood. Salvation has been extended unto man. And why not today? Why not today? Amen. I pray that you have a very, very blessed resurrection, rest of your resurrection weekend. I pray that you have a very, very blessed resurrection Sunday. Amen. And if you do not have the Holy Ghost, go to a church. I pray that you go to a church that baptizes you in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of churches that you might say, well, they baptize me in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those are titles, honey. Those are titles, man. Titles can't save you. Father is a title. Father is not a name. I'm a father. I'm a son. And I got the Holy Ghost. But my name is Adam. I'm a father to my children. I'm a son to my mother and my father. And I got the Holy Ghost. But my name, that's not my name. My name is not Father. Amen. My name is not Son. But my name is Adam. If somebody called me, same thing. We've talked about the benefits of God before. You can't have the benefits of God without having his Spirit. Amen. When I was born, I took on my natural father's last name, and I had the benefits of my father. We have to take on the name of Jesus to have the benefits, the full benefits of God. We had friends. We had friends growing up, me and my brothers and my sister. We had friends come over, and they got some partial of the benefits of my natural father. When they would come over and spend the night, they get a good meal. They get a roof over their head. They get a good laugh, and they get probably 9 times out of 10, they got some prayer because my mama's sure gonna anoint some people while they there. But they didn't get the full benefits of the house. They didn't get the life insurance. They didn't get the health insurance because they didn't live with us. They didn't have the full benefits. And that's the same thing with Jesus. You can have partial benefits, the blessings of God. Having the full benefits of God is walking in salvation, holiness and righteousness, being that royal priesthood, being that chosen generation. Amen. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, this is Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. This is the only way to see heaven. This is the only way to your true salvation in God. I pray for you. I thank God for each and every one of you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. Have a very, very blessed next week in Jesus' name. And until next week, as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again or if you don't hear me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.